welcoming Jason up to preach the word of God this morning. Cool. Fantastic. Well, thanks for having me. It's been a wild morning, but I'm glad I'm here. I feel like a buzzing in my spirit right down the depths of me. I'm really expecting for what God's going to do, but first, I just want to honour Pastor Rob. We've met before, just very briefly, and I've heard so much about you from Kane, about the history here and your legacy of moving in the spirit and seeing God move powerfully and you know, honouring the gifts of the Spirit and praying in tongues and being open and allowing God to do what He said He wanted to do in His people. I feel like I'm getting emotional already. It's just incredible to have a leadership like that in a church, because people get to come to a well and they get to drink. They get to experience what Jesus paid the price for us to experience. Amen. So you've got an incredible pastor here leading you. And Pastor Kane, mate, I absolutely love you. We look very similar. We look like brothers, and I like that because you're pretty good looking. It's just been awesome to walk together. We, you know, when we've been through challenges and things like that, and we've had questions in our heart and belief for greater measures of God, we've been able to get on the phone and go, dude, mate, I have come up short in this area, or I didn't see breakthrough in this area, and we're always here to encourage each other in the truth of what Jesus has come to achieve. And so, Kane sort of touched on it quickly. I'm going to quickly share obviously what's happened over the night, but I'm also going to share some testimonies. But first, I just want to pray. And I'm going to invite you into something this morning, because I tell you what, the devil is taking ground that he has no authority to take. And he is taking liberties in the lives of Christians where he doesn't even have the right to step on that soil. And so I'm going to pull you into something this morning, and we're going to get super loud, super wild, super outrageous with Jesus this morning. And I'm going to ask the band to come back up. I'm just giving you a heads up at some time very shortly. And we're just going to enjoy the presence of the Lord and shout down everything the enemy has come to try and bring us down as a family. Amen. The family of God. So let us pray. Jesus, we just absolutely adore you in this house. Thank you that we're here together. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move like the wind of old. It would set us alight like the fires of old. The testimonies of our forefathers that saw you move in revivals and saw you move in miraculous sovereign ways and has seen you save hundreds of thousands and millions of people over the earth in the last just 100 years of a Pentecostal movement. Jesus, you have ordained that your church would be on fire, that they would not be sitting comfortable, but God, that you would light them up and put them as a city on a hill and a seasoning and a salt in the earth that the world can come and taste of and see that God is good. And so this morning, Lord, I just pray that you would move with absolute power in this place, that people who have been sitting there waiting and believing and interceding and burdened with the reality of you moving, God, I pray that that happens here this morning. I know there's been a prophecy of revival over this house for years. And God, I pray that that wick sparks this morning, and there is something that's left in this place that begins a momentum that has never been seen or hasn't been seen for a long time. Jesus, move this morning. We come humbly to your feet. We submit ourselves at your feet on our knees and say, Jesus, come. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. And if you're hungry for Jesus this morning, I want you to shout amen with me. 3, 2, 1. Amen. Oh, I like the sound of that. Thank you, Jesus. So, it's been a wild night. Naomi woke me up at 2 a.m. and she said, babe, I just had the scariest dream. She said, I had a dream that you were cheating on me. And I said, well, what does it mean? And she said, I don't know. I said, well, I'm not cheating on you, just for your information. And all of a sudden we hear Zion make a noise. And our monitor hasn't been working while we're here, and so we haven't actually been able to watch him while he's been sleeping through the night. And He's been unwell already anyway. He's had a touch of the flu. And so we hear this noise and I get up and he's sort of grizzling in his bed and I'm like, put his dummy back in, which is what I usually do with my eyes shut in the middle of the night. That'll work. And about 5 minutes later, he makes a noise again, but it's different. And so we go in there and he's actually choking on his vomit. And so Naomi picks him up and he's continued to throw up probably 8 times since he woke up properly at about 2:30. And I was in the shower and the Lord said to me, this is an assignment, cancel it. And so I was like, yes, Lord. And so I've been praying over Zion this morning and I just believe it was literally an attack after a backlash after what happened here last night where young people got healed, they encountered God, they got right with God, he set them free. And the presence of God came in and you could just sense that tangible peace of God where you could just wait and wait and wait and wait forever. It's like a feeling where you could just wait forever. Anybody ever felt that? And so I knew it was backlash. And so I felt in my heart to take him to the hospital this morning and praise God. He's going to be fine. The reality is he's going to be fine. He's in the palm of the Lord's hand. And if any of us have anything to do with it, the enemy's not going to have the final say. Amen? He never does, actually. Jesus has the final word. The cross has the final word. Amen? And so I wanted to come and as I was walking out of the hospital, the Lord said, the walls of Jericho are coming down. And I have actually never preached on the walls of Jericho before. So this is literally in the car on the way. I was looking at the story and I'm like, man, God wants to do a work in people's lives this morning because there's some of you in here and you've had strongholds on the other side of a breakthrough. You've had strongholds that have been in front of a breakthrough in your life. You have family members that have been sick for a long time. You have family and relatives that have been away from God. They walked away from hurt and offense. You have family members that are struggling with mental illness, even friends, even work colleagues. You have work colleagues that have been had a vendetta against you and there's been an assignment against your life to take you out and to stop you from being that all God wants you to be. But we're going to do something here this morning. We're going to shout down the stronghold of Jericho. And if you don't know what the word Jericho means or the name, it means moon. And in the Palestinian land where Abraham was even called out of, right? In that region, there was gods that were being worshipped and it was the sun and the moon. And the reason why Abraham was different from the rest and why God called him was because history tells us in Judaism history, and they write about it, that Abraham didn't worship the sun and the moon. He worshipped the God that made the sun and the moon. He was different. He knew there was something bigger. And so that's why God calls Abraham out of the land that he's in. And he calls him to a land of promise. And he says, with you, I am going to make a nation. I'm going to make a people as numerous as the stars. And we are those people because we are children of faith. Amen? And so it means moon, which means this city was the stronghold of the promised land of God. And if you have a look at the story, this stronghold, Jericho, was right on the edge. When they come into the promised land, they literally had to take down this giant straight away. How many of you know what Jesus has planned for your life and know what he's promised for your life? But there seems to be a gated city wall in front of you every time you make an advance. Every time you're on your knees praying, every time you are beckoning that God would do something significant in your life, there's a gated wall. A gated wall. You know, when Peter got released from prison, the final gates, after they'd been praying, they were called the iron gates. And Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would come and break the iron gates. Jesus is here to break the strongholds this morning. I know that there is a well of revival that's supposed to pour out into this community, and we are going to bring that about through our engagement with the presence of God here this morning. We're going to begin to attack the iron gates of our lives and the things that God has planned for us are going to come to pass. I just want to share a testimony. Back in 2019, before we went to the Philippines, I think Kane knows this story. It'd be weird if he didn't. It was a few months out. I actually had what the doctors can only explain as a stroke. I was sitting on my couch, reading the word, spending time with Jesus, and the Lord said to me, "You're gonna have a brain scan." And I was like, "What?" Because that was very unusual for the Lord to say that. And so I'm sitting there having this conversation with God. I'm like, "All right, Lord, well, if I've got a brain tumor, that's okay, because I know you're gonna heal me. You wouldn't have told me otherwise, but I'm gonna go get a test. I'm not gonna tell Naomi." How's that? Good communication. "And I'm gonna go get a brain scan. And if there's nothing wrong, then she never knew." This is literally the conversation I'm having with myself and the Lord. And then about 50 minutes later, my beautiful wife comes out, Sunday best on. She goes, "Hey babe, how does this outfit look?" And all of a sudden, my eyes looked at the wall and my clock on the wall turned into 1, 2, 3. And they started to split like this, coming back like this, my eyesight. And everything just went bam, black, gone. No movement, no sight, no speaking. And Naomi was like, "Hello, hello, hello." She's recounting the story to me as it goes. And she's tapping me, thinking, "Oh my gosh, like he's gone, like there's nothing here." And so she rings the ambulance, 000, they come in, they put me on a stretcher. I go in the ambulance, about a 20 minute drive, and I start to come back to consciousness with this sound, the triage nurse saying, "Let's rush him in for a brain scan." And so I recognize that God has told me, "You're gonna go in for a brain scan," that I'm now on a moving ambulance bed, and the nurse says, "You're gonna go in for a brain scan." And so I try and turn to Naomi because she's by my side, and I'm like, trying to say, "I knew this was gonna happen, don't worry about it." And she's, "Aah!" And so what happened in that hospital for me was a revival, because I knew that God was about to kick in the teeth the plan that the devil had on the other side of the iron gate. Some of you have iron gates in front of you right now, and God, all you need to do is stand back and shout to Jesus and let him kick that thing down. Amen? Because it's not about what you do, it's about what he can do. We're not busy trying to work to get this thing happening. We're busy laying down on our face and saying, "Jesus, I know that the finished work is on the inside of you. So I'm just going to believe it and I'm going to receive it." For Jesus said, "If you would believe, you will see the glory of God." And after that, he raised Lazarus from the dead in John 11. And so in that hospital room, I wasn't fully recovered yet, but my spirit was having a party with the Lord. And I was getting words of knowledge for nurses that were on the borderlines of divorce, and they were getting saved because God was just giving me words of knowledge for them. It was spectacular. It was amazing. And so I had a friend. I was on Facebook, because Facebook is really healthy for you. And my friend, an evangelist in Adelaide, Jackie Ford, if you haven't heard of her before, look her up. She's quite incredible. She's just a super bold evangelist. And she saw that I was watching her clip online, and so she literally prayed through the phone. And I tell you what, it was like lightning went through the back of my head, all and shot through my body, and I was instantly healed of every bit of dizziness, and like my balance was back, my cognitive function was really sharp again. And so I got out of bed, I was like, "Whoa, I'm fully healed." And so I left the hospital the next day. I went to sleep and I started to do research, literally in the space of 24 hours. What is it when a supernatural or a witchcraft sickness comes upon someone? And the opening line was, "The evidence of sickness is there, but there is no origin." And so I went to sleep. I had a dream that I was a voodoo doll and I was being prodded and cut and pricked. And I realized, I woke up out of that dream and I realized, man, God has literally set me free from the plan of the enemy. How good is that? And so I went back to the hospital for a checkup and they said to me, are you planning to go anywhere soon? And I said, yep, I'm planning to fly to the Philippines. I have to preach the gospel. And they said, you won't be able to go. And I said, you are wrong. That is the one reason this happened. I am going. And so when the iron gates show themselves, I want to encourage you. Jesus is there to blow them open. He is there to heal. He is there to deliver. His name means deliverance. His name means soul safety. His name means preservation. And he's here this morning to bring that about in Jesus' name. All right, the walls of Jericho. This is in chapter 6 of Joshua. Just before then, just a bit of context. The Bible says the commander of the Lord's army comes. Chapter 5, starting from verse 13. Joshua has been ordained by the Lord off the back of Moses' leadership to go in and take Israel into the promised land. And the Bible says this, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes. In other words, he was recognizing the fact that God was above him. Recognizing, he was looking unto the heavens. And he lifted up his eyes, he looked, and behold, a man standing before him with his drawn sword was in his hand. And Joshua went to him and he said, are you for us or are you our adversary? And he said, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. And now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he worshipped him. And he said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And this is what the Lord said. Ready? The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Joshua had to take on a walled city that had stood for centuries and centuries and centuries. In fact, it was a double walled city. It had never been penetrated before. In fact, it had stood the test of time. And you have this young man who has grown up in the presence of God. All he knows is that there has been a fire by night and a cloud by day to shield them from the sun. He knows that a generation before them, a Pharaoh, the most powerful worldly man on earth, had been consumed. The Bible says that he, his horsemen, his chariots, and his men on foot were consumed by the waters of judgment when God shut the Red Sea, which is the blood of Jesus, a type of the blood of Jesus. The Pharaoh, the horsemen, and the chariots, and the men were all levels of principalities and powers that God was prophesying he would destroy through the blood of Jesus. There is not a single hierarchy of demonic power that Jesus will not swallow up if you stand with him. Amen? And so he has grown up in this reality, which we know that. We're on this side of the cross, amen? And you have Joshua standing, and the warrior says, that the commander-in-chief, which is Jesus, says, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Can I just get the band up, which would be absolutely amazing? I want to sing, if you're okay to do it spontaneously, there is power in the name of Jesus. And if you're okay with this, Pastor Rob, I'd love for all of us to stand up this morning. Because I don't know about you, but I'm over the devil thinking he has access to my life. He's mistaken, sadly mistaken. Because not only me, but you and the family of God have the authority and the dominion to destroy the works of the devil. We've been commanded to do that. And so if you're comfortable with it this morning, we're going to get really rowdy in here. Okay? Because I'm going to read you the story of the walls of Jericho and then we're going to go for it. All right? And I just feel like this is spontaneously from the Lord this morning. So this is what it says. Jericho was shut up on the inside and the outside because of the people of Israel. In fact, so this walled city that had a leader in it was terrified of Israel, even though they'd never seen them before. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. In other words, the Lord is first going to take out the leader and then the ones underneath. He said, you shall march around the city and all the men of war going around the city at once. Thus Shall you do it for 6 days? Seven priests shall bear the seven trumpets of God and the horns and the ark, the presence of God. And on the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, and everyone straight before him. If you're comfortable with this morning, and if this is okay, I'd love for you to take off your shoes. Because there is people in mind that you have right now that need breakthrough in their life. Come on, church. I'm inviting you into a breakthrough moment for you, your family, your relatives. This church that has been under a faithful leader, Pastor Rob, that has been taking you into the presence year after year, week after week, month after month. And we're going to sing unto the Lord. And at the right time, we're going to lift up a shout. And if it sustains for seconds, minutes, hours, who knows? It doesn't matter. But we are going to get involved and get our spirit concentrated on the Lord, because it says that they carried the ark around the iron gates, around the wall. And as soon as the gates break open, the access to the promised land takes place. And we're going to watch giants fall. We're going to watch a giant, the moon god, the false idol, fall this morning. Is anyone else with me? Is anyone else with me? All right, let's go.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Let's sing this out.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain.
There is
power. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Sing our FM.
Freedom we dance. Freedom we dance.
Hold this
is our victory shout.
Sing our FM.
Freedom we dance. Freedom we dance.
Hold this is our victory shout.
upon the Lord right now. When Joshua walked around the wall, it says that they sent out the ark first. They were conscious that the presence, the person, the deliverer was with them. The Bible actually tells us that the nations surrounding Israel were terrified to death. They had heard the reports that Israel had a God that was living. Israel had a God that was alive, and Israel had a God that was delivering enemies into their hands. And that's why the city was locked down. That's why it was shut. No one went in and no one went out. And I want you to put your affection upon the Lord right now. And on the count of three, we're going to lift a shout over that which we need breakthrough over. Because I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ has won the victory, not just in the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm. The Bible says that He took our griefs and He bore our sorrows. The Bible says that He took them away from us. He grabbed them. He snatched them. He walked them away. He bore our sins. For Him to bore them or to bear them means He grabbed them and He took them away. If there is sickness or if there is mental health or problems in your life, you have a person, you have a God, you have a lamb that is taken away and bore those sorrows away for you. And so what I want you to do, on the count of three, we're going to shout over the city that has been in front of our breakthrough, okay? And you can shout for as long as you want to shout for, but I promise you, if you let it all out, something's going to break. Something will break in your spirit, and something will break in the spirit over your situation. It'll cause you to believe again. It'll cause you to get fire again. It'll cause you to have your breakthrough in Jesus' name. So on the count of three, are you ready? Are you ready, everyone? Do you want your breakthrough? Come on. One, two, three, shout.
Step by step, we're marching in the freedom.
Here I come down the front, just dancing the presence of the Lord again.
Step by step, we're marching in the freedom. Step by step, oh, step by step, we're marching in the freedom.
praise God. Don't go anywhere. Maybe you've never been in a church before. But this is what it's like to belong to Jesus. There's nothing boring about it. And if Christianity's boring, then you need to re-enter the chamber where Jesus is, because he is marvelous, wonderful, glorious, mysterious, but so inviting, so phenomenal. And if you've never met him before, I want to give you an opportunity this morning. He is the great deliverer. 10 years ago, I was an ice addict. 4.5 years, I was bound by ice. I was addicted to pornography every single day of my life. I was too busy following girls around, connecting myself to other people's souls, and it was destroying me on the inside. Here's the crazy thing, I didn't actually know I needed Jesus. I got invited to a church, didn't think too much of it. In fact, it was a Christmas play on. But I just kept going back. And one day, after 10 months, trying to be a good churchgoer, trying to change my behavior to match my confession, I had an encounter with Jesus. And in John 3, Jesus says this: nobody can see the kingdom unless he's born of the Spirit. And nobody can enter the kingdom unless he's seen and born, sorry. And I entered in that day, and my world became a different place, not only because I realized who he was, but in his face I realized who I was. He made me a new creature, a new creation. He took out the old man and he gave me a new man. For the old has passed away. Behold, gaze, have a look at the fact that all things are made new, the Bible says. And so if you're in here this morning and you feel like your affection might have waned, as in you moved left of center and your eyes no longer single for the beauty of Jesus, or if you're in this room and it's been a long time and you've never given your life to Jesus, the reality is that he's in this place right now, beckoning you, calling you, believing that you would respond to him. Because the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He made a way for me when I was lost and broken and without perfection. And I still am without perfection. But he invited me into himself and he said, if you come to me with all your burdens, take my yoke, take what I have and rest it upon your shoulders. It's easy and it's light, and I will give rest to your soul. That can be you this morning. So with every eye shut, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus this morning. We're going to pray a prayer together, and it's not the prayer that actually saves you, it's who you're talking to when you say the prayer. Because unless you come to Jesus, you can't get saved. Unless you come to the man, the God-man, who saves, who bled, who died, who rose again, who is wounded, and the memory is in his hands. When you see him in eternity, that memory will be there, and yet he is wounded and he's raised at the same time, so that every person in eternity will never forget who he is and what he's done. And you get that opportunity this morning. If your heart is saying to you, I need Jesus this morning, I've heard the testimonies of healing and of this shout, this breakthrough that's in the room right now, and I know I need Jesus because my spirit is telling me before my head can understand, I want you to put your hand up nice and high. If you need Jesus this morning, you want to get saved, you want to get saved, you want him to deliver you of addictions, of brokenness. You want him to set you free from emotional turmoil. You want him to restore to you the blissful life that he said that he would do. Put your hand up nice and high for me. Nice and high so I can see it. Seeing hands all over the room, all over the room. Keep them up nice and high. All right, I want you to say this. There's probably 25 people in this room. I want you to say this prayer after me and speak it to Jesus, your Lord, your Savior. Say this after me. Say, Jesus, today I come to you, a sinner, and I long to be saved. I believe that you died for me, Jesus. And I believe that you rose in victory. Thank you for the blood that cleanses my soul. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offer me in coming to you. I believe, Jesus, that you will come again one day and you will judge the living and the dead. And this morning, I submit my heart to you. Take my life. I make it yours. In your precious and mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Come on. He's worthy. He's worthy. What a beautiful moment. That's right, I don't mind the praise. For all of you who put your hand up and made a decision this morning, I know that Pastor Rob and Pastor Kane and the leadership here would have a great pathway for you to connect into this family that will believe with you, that will pray with you, that will walk with you, that will care for you. They are a phenomenal leadership team here with decades of experience with people. And I want to encourage you to do three things. I want to encourage you to get connected really quickly into this community. First thing, don't be shy. Everyone here is beautiful and friendly. The second one is make it a scheduled moment to read the word every day. And if you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to be really open and say, can someone please get me a Bible? And the third thing is, spend time praying every day. What does that look like? It literally looks like a child speaking to a father. Because that's how we come, childlike, like little children. Speak to God. It's a conversation with the God of the universe who decided to localize himself into your life and be the answer of your prayers. So Father, I just thank you so much for these people, this entire congregation. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them. You would move upon them from this moment, this shouting breakthrough. I actually call in answered prayers, testimonies of breakthrough and goodness. Lord, I thank you for them, and I thank you that you've called them as a mighty family in Mackay, that it is a city on a hill. This is the powerhouse. This is the lightning rod of Mackay. And God, I thank you that you will send our people out of this house. Pastor Rob, I feel like a new season of sending is going to come, and it's going to come not just through young people, but those of you that are already in the community and embedded and own businesses and are tradesmen and are administration. I just feel the commission of God upon your life. Now is the time to speak up. Now is the time that your tongue would be loosed. And now is the time that people come to be saved through your witness of Jesus. And I just release and believe that the grace of God is going to rest upon the lot of you to multiply, 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 as the Bible displayed in the beginning in Acts, where it says they were added daily. And so, Lord, I just release that, and I thank you for this family in the name of Jesus. God bless them. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jesus. That was amazing. Beautiful word. You know, the Lord has the victory. He has the victory. He purchased it for us. Now, there's a lyric in one of my favorite songs, and it says this. It says, you share the spoils of your victory. He goes into the enemy's camp, wins the victory, and shares his spoils with us. That's freedom. That's healing. That's provision. This week, let's begin to tap into what Jason preached. Let's share and declare our victory over our situations. And so this morning, as we close the service, before we have tea and coffee, I think it'd be really important just to declare his victory over our lives again and worship and give him praise for all he's done. Do you know that song? You know that old